Father, we ask and receive this evening that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy. With clarity, with precision, there is no confusion or contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive your word this evening. And we declare and declare at the end of today's meeting that since we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're looking at faith or folly. And this will be our second teaching in the series. Faith or folly. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My sons, if sin has enticed thee, consent thou not. Look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies living sacrifice, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He now says in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Is that similar to Proverbs 1, verse 11? Where sin has enticed you, is that correct? Yeah? Do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, you know, growing up, I grew up learning that there are three wills of God per situation for everyone. So, for instance, you hear someone say that there is the good will of God, is that correct? Then there is the acceptable will of God. Then there is the perfect will of God. And I found that a lot of times we use that narrative for marriage. Right? I mean, why is it always marriage? Right? You find three brothers or three sisters. There is, well, that's good. God will have you, but you know God has something better. All together. Then you see someone again who maybe, you know, there's a trend that's gone all around right now. POV. He's a Christian, but doesn't speak in tongues. Everybody will run. Okay, don't see it. It's only until you watch an Arise TV or CNN. Right? You say, he's a Christian, but he doesn't forgive easily. Everybody will not disappear. You say, he's a Christian, but doesn't speak in tongues. Everybody will not disappear. You know, so you know the acceptable will of God as maybe a man who has a good career, earning good money, maybe £50,000 a year, right? But the one that's acceptable is earning £65,000 a year, goes to church, speaks in tongues. Then the one that is perfect is 120 and above, right? When you now have three options to pick from, you now realize that, oh, more often than not, you'll find out that it's the one that best suits you that you'll call the perfect will of God. I hope you know that there is a standard that everyone looks out for in who they want to get married to. For instance, there are some boxes that you know should check. He's a Christian, but he's not too tall. Everybody will run. Right? He's a Christian and he's not up to 6 feet. He's not 6 feet before. Everybody will run. You know, I'm just trying to say that there are certain things that we've seen over time, certain things that we've, you know, come in contact with basically in life that has framed our perspective to life. So it means that by default, there are certain expectations you have. You know, so imagine a Christian brother who just wants to get married. And, you know, he says, no, I don't look at beauty. For beauty is in the heart. Beauty is of the heart. Look at the heart. Is she kind? Right? Is she kind? Remember, like Pastor Shego was giving an example of a brother who said, I think he brought the lady to him and said, oh, Pastor, this is my wife. Right, and so Pastor now said, she's very beautiful. You know, saying, hey, I didn't even see it, I didn't know, something like that. You know, sometimes we try to hide as though we want only things spiritual. But you know, like I was trying to show you on Sunday, there's a way you can have two worlds, right? With your primary focus on that which is spiritual, definitely, but does not mean that you will now serve ignorant or sound ignorant when it comes to things that are natural or physical. So, you know, and Paul will say, do not be conformed to this world, but transform by the renewal of your mind, right? That you may know that which is the good, acceptable, and perfect will. So, when you look through this is not an example of what I was talking about as three different things or two different things, for instance, right? Where you now say you combine everything. No. The good that is the perfect, or the good I mean to say the acceptable, I mean to say the perfect will of God, right? So there is one will of God. Are we together? Which is fundamental, which we've taught explicitly in the local church. You know that God's will for your life is to serve Him and to be a minister of the gospel, right? And every other thing should revolve around that. So Paul will say, do not be conformed to this world. So it means that there are patterns or there are methods or there are ways, right, that people are, or that the world has set as a template that is easy for one to follow in. Are we here? You know, if you go to a company that has existed for 50 years, more often than not, when you get there, you have to learn the ways of, there's something called ways of working. Yeah, you learn their way of working, right? More often than not, you just have to align and adjust. So think about that as well as the practice of the world. In the world as a whole, right, there are structures that are in place that humans have put already. And Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That means there's a thought pattern, a method by which man averagely views the world. Right, Paul says, do not be conformed. Proverbs says, when sinners entice you, conform not to their ways. Right? So it means that there are ways that people can clearly see and know that that is the way of the sinners. Look at Psalm 1, verse 1 that we said that we saw on Sunday. Psalm 1. Look at Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Let's read verse 1 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seated in the seats of the scornful. But his delight is what? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And it shall be like what? A tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Look at verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth what? The way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So is that the way of the righteous? Is that the way of the ungodly? Right? What way should we not go through? The way of the ungodly, the way of the scornful, right? So we're looking at the series, Faith and Folly. And it's a question mark, like you see in the series title. The question now becomes, the actions, the inactions we do, can we attribute them to be full of faith? Or can we say they are full of folly? We said folly means foolishness, right? And can a believer act foolish? Can a believer act foolish? Becoming a believer, does that change foolish acts? No, it doesn't by default change foolish acts, right? Is there such a thing called walking in wisdom as a believer? And is there such a thing called walking in foolishness as a believer? Yes, right? You know, we looked at Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 last on Sunday. What does it say? This book of the what? This book of the law shall not what? Depart from the man, but thou shalt what? Meditate. How frequently did Joshua speak about meditation? Day and night. That means all through. Meditate. And we said the word there, meditate, means to think upon. That means when you go through scriptures, you have the attitude of thinking upon the things that we see on the pages of the scriptures. So it should mean that should be your practice consistently. Don't have that culture of, you know, just looking through, you know, the Bible only when we're in church. In fact, in our generation, I hope you know, a lot of people don't even open their Bible in a year. Altogether. A lot of people don't open their Bible in a year. The best they open their Bible is, and also for even churches that are supposed to even encourage, you know, I don't have any issue with, you know, the, you know, what they call a projector screen. But, you know, a lot of times it just makes us lazy. Right? It just makes us lazy. There's such a thing called looking at where it's being read. Right? I understand sometimes you use it for unity in the same translation and the same version. You can get that. Like I said, I don't have any issue with that. But, you know, imagine a Christian who doesn't read their Bible Monday to Sunday and comes to church to look at projector. It means you can go through a year without looking at your Bible. Are we together? You can go, you know, sometimes look through your Bible, right? And when pastor is teaching or anywhere you are listening to God's word, there might be certain things that will be said for those verses that you would what? Underline. Are we here? Yeah? There's certain things you will just accept. There's certain things you will just, you know, put marks on, Why? Because in the real sense, it might be something that God is speaking to you about in that meeting. And also, it can help you even when you go for evangelism, or it can help you. Look at with this Bible, right? I used to have one before, but I've used this probably maybe 4 or 5 years. But then I got another one in my Bible, you know, the one I've started trying to use recently. And the reason I got that one is just because I plan to use that Bible for another maybe 40 years or 50 years. That's my plan, right? So I bought a bigger Bible just so that my font can be, right? Anywhere I am in this world, if I sit down and I sleep and I wake up and you hand over this to me, I can teach for 5 hours. Anywhere I am in the world. Just this. Right? Why? Because I've read it enough to know how certain scriptures connect. I remember there was a time in church, I think it was in Nigerian church, right? I was describing, I gave someone my Bible and I said, this is where this chapter is and this is where this verse is. I identified the page, the part of the Bible where it's written. Right, I did that for a few scriptures, right? And that's just because I've taken now time to read it, right? So, you know, when you see that, I love hard copy Bibles, very important. I have, in fact, I have more Bibles on my, you know, soft Bibles, as it were, e-copies. But I just like this because it just gives me that room to just see, to just point and just, you know, have some notes taken all around the pages of the scripture, right? I'm just trying to say that because I meditate on the word, right? Yeah, when you meditate, you will think. It means you should ideally write. It means you should jot things down. It means you should ideally pen things down. That's what meditating is. Meditating just really means pondering and thinking. Right? Pondering and thinking. You know, and Joshua 1, it says, and then your way shall be prosperous and shall have what? Good success. We explained that on Sunday. Good success does not mean business success. Right? Let me ask you a question. As a businessman, should you meditate on the Bible? As a businessman, as a doctor, should you meditate on the Bible? Yes, as a scientist, should you meditate on the Word of God? Yes, yeah. Why should you meditate on the Word of God? Because you are a believer. Because the Word will help you regulate your life, your mode of living, in any field you find yourself. You see, look, as I just said what I said now, what someone can pick from there is that, I was talking to somebody. I'm going to say it really. I was talking to someone, so I reached out to me with. She said his pastor was teaching one day, right, and something dropped. You know when they say something dropped? Eh? Have I taught you about the difference between Rhema and Logos? You know, people say, have I thought about it? I think I've thought about it. Yeah, people say, you know, Rhema is when a pastor drops something hot. Rhema, chukos what? How it together, right? Yeah, and so he was saying that he just received one Rhema while he was teaching. Right? And what is Rhema? He was able to build a model. And the model is supposed to be able to milk out money in the financial world. Are we together? Are we together? You know, a lot of times we find people say very interesting things. I have the model. Right? In 20 days, of entering the financial world with that model, I've not seen more than 2-3 days that are profitable. Yet it is Rhema from the throne of grace. I was together, right? What am I saying? Ideally, should he be able to get himself into the world and meditate on the world? Yes. But not with the outcome of or not necessarily the outcome of finding a solution. I'm trying to be careful with my words. Yeah, I'm trying to be careful with my words because I don't want to go one extreme and leave the other extreme. I'm just trying to say that when we face the word, the major reason for meditating on the word is to ensure that it helps in aligning our activities in the world. You know, you can look through the Bible and see business models. It's what your eye wants to see, you will see. Anything your eye want to see, you use it. If you want to choose, look at how to marry more than one wife, you can use this Bible to explain it. If you want to use how to marry the lady or the man who is helping you in your house, you can use the Bible to explain it. Right? But you know, there should be a central focus on the theme, which is there's a way that seemeth right. Right? There's a way that is godly. There's a way that is ungodly. Meditating on the word should help fine-tune, realign you no matter the field you find yourself. Right? So I was saying that in this series, we'll try to look at faith and folly from the concept of Career, is that correct? Finances, is that correct? Getting married or marriage, right? I said there's a series that I spend in just before and after I say, I do, right? Then we'll look at what again? Health. Look at planning. So like I said on Sunday, a lot of times you always pay attention to the middle part. It's either spiritual or it's natural. And I said on Sunday as well, right, that the opposite of spirituality is not logical, not to be logical, right, to be natural, right? Or like I said, the particular for faith. The opposite of faith does not mean to be logical. Opposite of faith just really means or is unbelief, right? So when you are in faith and real sense, and I said as well that you have a brain. So once you have a brain and you have faith filled in your heart, the fact remains that God still expects that you use your brain. Because we established on Sunday that your brain is supernatural. Is that correct? Yeah. Why did we say supernatural? Because the supernatural God put it in place for your natural activities. So it means there are things you should be able to think about, think upon, right? You know you can pick a verse and meditate on it throughout the full day. Altogether. You know you can pick one scripture and meditate on it throughout the full day. Meditating is not reading. Altogether. Reading just really means you are just screaming through the pages of scriptures. But meditating means you are pondering, paying attention, right? You are observing, you are dwelling, you are putting your focus around what you're doing, right? So we said the fact that something is the same is not the same as the other does not make it the opposite, right? We looked at a few examples that we spoke about, you know, the examples of wanting to think about certain decisions. For instance, someone wants to get married to you or you want to get married to someone. Yeah, we should not be shy away as Christians to say, let me think about it. Whilst it might be Christian enough or Christian, you know, inclined to say, let me pray about it. Right? But you know, whilst you're praying, you can think about it. You can ponder on things. You can ponder on decisions. I give an example of, you said you don't want to have a child, right? And the person that wants to ask you out says they want to have 5 children, right? I would say we have to meet at the middle point, 2.5, right? Because you have to find a way around it. But you know, there are certain signs that you will see, yeah? The reason for this series is we need to, as believers, open our eyes to opportunities that are around and learn how to make use of opportunities. I was watching a show. There's a show I watch, you know, I started watching recently just to, you know, help my mother tongue and all of that. So they did a live show, right? And they had specific people that were going to come and, you know, and get interviewed and to go on the quiz, on the competition. Right, and they are finished with it, and the winner, the person with the highest score from that day, it was a 3 hours meeting, the person with the highest score from that day was going to win a car, a Toyota car. You know, and as they finished the show, I think there was a reason for someone to come and recite something, maybe just ask someone who knows this thing in this language, come and say it. You know, and the lady came out and she said it. And after she said it, right, I think they maybe just clapped for her. But one thing she said is, she said, whilst I'm not part of the contestant, can you allow me be a contestant? It means before she came out, there was somebody that would have already been ascertained the winner of the show because there were specific people they had chosen. And she just came. And I said, hey, okay, they changed the entire course of the program and they had to sit on the seat. Do you know eventually she won? Right? Do you know that she found a way to come to that meeting ground? Right? And when she got to the meeting ground, she didn't know where she would sleep. She didn't have money to travel back to where she was coming from. So what happened was she actually stepped out. She came to the meeting and she saw a friend that she had known for a long time. So when she saw the friend going outside, she stepped out to go and speak to the person to say, my friend, how are you doing? Been a while. Do you mind if I sleep in your house this night so that tomorrow I'll go back to where I'm coming from? That means she didn't have what it, I do want to say, she didn't have what it took to even rent a hotel room. But she saw the opportunity and she told the MC and said, please, can I be on the show? And she got on the show and she won it. She won the car that day. Somebody from the audience say, oh, I'm going to give you this certain amount of euro to buy fuel for your car. Another person say, do you know how to drive? She said, no, I'm going to pay for your driver for 1 year. And that person just came and said, where are you sleeping this time? I'm paying for your hotel room. I'm trying to say, she saw the opportunity and she jumped. Now, do you know that it's possible she's a Christian that is praying? Possibly jumping from one online meeting to another online prayer meeting. But I'm trying to say that with those jumping, if you don't jump at opportunities, they will pass you by. Do you know how many opportunities a lot of times pass us by we not being able to speak up? I was going somewhere yesterday, for instance, and my wife was telling me that they won't attend to you if you go there because you have to pre-book. And one of the things I learned from my dad is, as long as a human being is there, let's attempt it. What's the worst case scenario? No, now. Is that not correct? If I listen to the show, she had gone online as she usually will do. As she has searched and looked at all the protocol, I didn't even listen to her. Because that is how you will start affecting your faith. Amen? I just acted like I know who you are. And I went there. I got to the place. The people were there. Are you not a human being? You are. Am I not human? Can you not hear me? So we can talk. So as soon as I just opened my mouth to talk, I saw the replica of what my wife had told me would happen. You understand? It was like a movie. Oh, I'm afraid. What are we afraid? What are you afraid about now? What am I doing to you that you're afraid? I'm afraid. I'm sorry. Right? And all of a sudden, right, my instinct in me just remembered my dad. My dad does not give up like that. There are places my dad will go to. Right? And that. I remember when my parents were giving me the story of how they went to House on the Rock, the experience, one of the, you know, the yearly experience that they do, you know what I'm saying? How they just, when my mom was just telling me how they found their way to the front. Someone can say that's a miracle. What I'm trying to say is that, do you know that you could have gotten there and the first person just say, please, Oga. And it will literally, please, Oga. You know, sometimes you are afraid of embarrassment. You know, I think called embarrassment. Me, I left my shame years ago. So I don't get embarrassed. You are laughing. There are some things I do. Ideally, a normal person should not do it. Because you should be ashamed. But me, and I found out that it has helped me to get more things than normal. And I went there. You know, so the money says, I'm afraid. Oh, really? And I kept pushing. Until she left that table, she found a way to favor me. And what imagine I went back home and I went with my sister Steph. I said, you are correct, Sha. Yeah? But no, I can't go back and say you are correct without trying. That's a shame. Right? And I went there. Eventually, she paused all she was doing. Right? Can you just be a little more persistent with life? Can you just be a little more persistent with life? Can you just push further a little? Push further a little. Yeah? You know, it even happens as well for those of you who are involved in buying and selling. Right? You put your price, right? You want to sell something for £100, right? And you put your first price, £150. Maybe you bought it even £80. And you know you can make maybe £10 from it or maybe £20 from it, right? Yeah, can you just be a little persistent? I'm not saying you should go and be, you know, drag the prime, multiply by two. But can you be a little, just that push, it helps you. So look at that lady I was talking about earlier today. She's now a car owner. I'm saying, worst case scenario, let's say she wants to even sell the car. She has a couple millions in her account right on the spot by just saying, look at it, after she did what they asked her to do, she's supposed to go back to her seat while they clap for her. But by just saying, I feel like I can try this thing. Right? You know, and that's where, you know, the combination of faith and logic can come in. Because, for instance, imagine you're praying, Lord, bless me, Lord, but the works of my hand shall multiply and be fruitful. Where is the work in your hand? Some of us, we think that faith, some of the things we are believing God for is not actually faith, is Ponzi scheme. Do you understand? Who is not here that is not wishing that they will not get lottery? Eh? You know, sometimes you just wake up and I'm going to this work again. I just wish I can just bump. Have you ever put a picture in your head where you just imagine someone just called you and say, hello, is that Miss Esther Yusuf? We just saw that a man just willed you all his property of £100 million. Even in the example, she said, amen. You know, so you just sit down and just analyze and just be wondering. Now, those things can happen, but I'm trying to say that there are structures in it. How many times does it happen to, and how many people can it happen to? We have over 5 billion people. You know, there's some things, sometimes one of the things you need to learn in life is how to, like I said, put a little pressure and don't waste time. Don't waste time. Do what needs to, I'm going to ponder on it later on in the series, but don't waste time. Don't waste time. When you have an opportunity, right, make use of the time. Jump at it. Jump at it. Someone sent to me a video of an updated policy that a country did yesterday or 2 days ago, right, where they reduced the number of years they give for applications for visa, right? And I'm like, imagine somebody who's supposed to have done this 2 months ago and kept saying, right, time spent today can never be gotten back. Right? For some of you, if you find yourself in a situation where it looks like, you know, there's a lot of free time in your hand, it's not a time to be playing around. I'll give you an example. 2014, I went for one of my internships, I think it was CUS. Right? Now, where they posted me to, or where I was doing my internship, let me tell you, how did I get there? It was Nigeria Communication Satellite. NICOMSAT. If you know it in Abuja, the Obasanjo Space Center, where you have the space, all of those things. And I got back home one day, I told my dad, I said, Dad, they say we should do 3 months internship or CYWAS, something like that. I can't remember the name, but I don't know where to go to. My dad said, what would you like to do? I just said something around maybe technical communication, telecommunication, or something like that, right? And my dad just said, oh, NICOMSAT. Do you know my dad did not know anybody there? Eh? But I think he used to mention one name, Boroface. Boroface has left the office, so he has left the whole place. He doesn't have anything to know. But know what my father did? My father drove to the front of the office, met the receptionist. My son is looking for her to do internship. Right? I'm sure they would have asked, who is this one? Where is this one coming from? Do you know eventually they connected him to a man called Mr. Ahmed Sadiq? And he just met him and said, my son is doing electrical engineering, looking for a way to do internship. Are you able to take him for 3 months? We'll see what we can do. That's where I sat. You know, sometimes, when you're supposed to have shame, some of us don't have shame. When you're not supposed to have shame, that's when you're feeling ashamed. Right? And that experience I got there was so invaluable to the course of my life. I just worked there for 3 months, and that was it. That was when my passion for Arduino, there's something called programming and robotics came alive. Robotics, Arduino, Uno board, and all those things. Right? And I got there, the man was into robotics. That was the first time I learned. So it was what influenced my project in my university days when I built a smart home. A smart home that had smoke detector, motion sensor, and if smoke comes up in your house, it sends a text message. And that was just the experience that changed a lot for me by just somebody taking that bold step and saying, what's the worst that can happen? Yeah, you see an opportunity, for instance, right? Yeah, what's the worst? I remember my dad usually tell me, this started from years ago, before I was even born, that him and his friends, because they don't have money to eat, they shall know that on weekend they will eat. They shall know they will eat on weekend. How? My dad said, all they do is they make sure they press their clothes to the ghetto on Friday. I know in Lagos, there's always party. So they will just wear their press clothes on Saturday and just be walking from party to party. You know, when they even see you at the door, they will think you are the one that is getting married. And they will go there and go and sit down with their ghetto. And they will eat every weekend. Right? But I'm saying, what's the worst? These are not people that are hungry. What's the worst that would happen if they caught you? Go. And what do they do? They won't even just go home. They will find a way to go to another party. You know, this thing I'm talking about is what makes us not to engage in evangelism as much. Because the first person you minister to say, get away from my front. That scar, it will haunt you. Yeah, and that's what the devil wants to do. Right? You're forgetting that two people are not the same. Mr. A can say, no, I don't want to listen to you. And Mrs. B or Mr. B can listen to you, and that will change the course of their family. Because of the first person, it's not like ministering the gifts of the Spirit when you go for evangelism. Right? Maybe imagine you're meeting somebody, for instance, maybe he's a very intellectual person. Yeah, he has studied the scientific profiling of human beings and all the likes and all the calculation of light and everything. Right? And you now say, I see the name Mark. Who is Mark to you? I say, Mark, I don't know anyone like Mark, mate. Who's Mark supposed to mean to me, mate? I don't know who Mark is. Right? And you two in your heart say, hey, God, this man that said Joshua, I should be trying this thing on the field. Right? Yeah? You know, it's very easy for you to just get discouraged, such that the next time when you will sense something, I know a lot of times, even the name, that name Mark, might even be someone they know, but they don't just remember. You know, it's strange for someone to be telling you about some details just randomly on the road. Sometimes you have to be able to explain, it is your cousin, it is your brother, it is your father. Some people will forget their parents' name. You would have to be the one to say, oh, what's your dad's name? Oh, imagine, I'd be like, ah, that's your dad's name, and you don't know your dad's name. But you, as Joshua was just saying, go for it. Now see, they embarrass me. Where do I start from here? But that's the mindset you need to have when you keep pushing. You keep at it. I remember one brother reached out to me two, three years ago. So he said he has been applying for jobs, no job, nothing is forthcoming. Nothing. He has been in GK for like 4 months. Saying nothing is forthcoming. I know sometimes the Holy Spirit will lead you to ask some questions, even though it's not the Holy Spirit, it's just common sense. How? My sixth rejection just came in yesterday. Six, number of man. In 4 months. With the same CV. In 4 months. Right? Yeah? You know what I told you? Yeah? As soon as I landed, because I knew there was a lot of tasks in my hand, I started doing interview. I told you of the brother who, the people wanted to give me an offer of a job. Right, but because my visa was delayed and everything, they gave it to somebody else. But the guy now called me. Something is supposed to call me and tell me on the phone. He called me to travel all the way to come and meet him. I have coffee, Costa coffee. When he finished talking, he said, I'm afraid. I said, this so. He was my first call, but I have a picture with him. I said, this so, you must hear this gospel today. I said, I should travel here. You come and tell me I'm sorry. What are you sorry about? Right? Yeah, but I'm trying to tell you, I did the interview when I was still at home in Nigeria. Right? And they said, oh, willing for you to come in and start and everything, but my stuff got delayed. Right? As soon as I landed, you know what they call hit the ground running. You see, that should be the mindset you have regarding almost anything. Anything you lay your hands on, give your all. Whatever is worth doing is worth doing well. And I jumped. In 1 month, I was already clocking my 400 plus application. With anointing, you know. Yeah? In 4 weeks, I've already started clocking 400. Me, I just gave up. You know, some people know how to do Excel sheets. I'm like, that energy for an Excel sheet. Let me go and look for another job and apply. Some people do Excel sheets. They have the name of the company. They have the description of the role. They have the status. Then they have the comments. I said, me, I don't have that patience. Right? I just wanted one company to trust me. Do you understand? And what happened? I'm trying to say, I didn't think I was going to say, no, I will apply for 400, and when I get to 400, if I don't get anything, I will stop. No. It is, you know what they say, push until something happens. I know, push, pray until something happens. This one, you push until something. That must be your mindset you will have in life. Right? There should be some things that, you know, what pushes you? For me, what pushes me a lot of time is the fact that I just love that everything I do should be excellent. I love that everything I put my hand in that I'm committed to should be done properly. Yeah, it should be done properly. Don't be that believer, for instance, that, you know, if pastor gives you something to do, cell leader gives you something to do, right? Can your cell leader say, I trust that he will do it without supervision? I trust that he will do it with minimal supervision, right? Because whatever you find yourself doing, whatever you find yourself doing is what doing well. So we look through Romans 12 like we did as earlier today as well. I said, the task for us is to ensure that we keep renewing our minds, bringing our minds up to speed with what the word says. Look at Proverbs chapter 18, verse 2. Proverbs 18, verse 2, are you there? A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. Right? A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. It says, when the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt, and with ignominy reproach. The word of a man's mouth are as deep waters, the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. It is not good to accept to the person of the wicked to overthrow the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his what? Destruction, and his lips are the snare of his foe. A fool's mouth is his what? Is his destruction. What does that mean? It means that there are certain things, right, that you will say that will change the course of life for you. You know, some of us don't know how to talk. Just talk. Yeah? Some of us just don't, we don't know how to talk. We don't know how to respond to situations. Right? Let me show you an example with Abigail. Look at First Samuel. First Samuel, chapter 25. Are you in 1 Samuel 25? Let's have a quick read at that. Give me a second. Let me just confirm this. Yeah, look at 1 Samuel 25. You know, Romans 15 will let you say that all the things that are written aforetime are written for our learning, that we through patience are covered with scriptures by what? Have hope, right? So it means that when we read through examples in scriptures, we need to learn from them. Look at 1 Samuel 25. Look at verse... Let's read from verse 1. Let's just have a quick read, okay? From verse 1. And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together, and lamented him, and buried him in the house of Ramah. And David arose and went down in the wilderness of Paran, right? And there was a man of Maon, whose possessions were a camel. And the man was very what? Great. And he had three, how many thousand? 3,000 sheep, and 1,000 goats, and he was sharing his sheep in camel. Now, the name of this man was what? Nabal. And the name of his wife was what? Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful what? Countenance. He now says, but the man was churlish and evil in his doing. That is similar to being a fool. He was foolish, right? And he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did share his sheep. And David sent out how many men? 10 young men. And David said unto the young men, go up unto Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. I mean, just go and greet him in my name. And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace to your house, and peace unto all that thou hast. Verse 7. And now I have heard that thou hast sharers, now thy shepherd which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them, all the while they were in Carmel. Ask the young men, and they shall show thee. Wherefore, let what? Let the young men find favor in their eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thy hand or to thy servant and to thy son David. Verse 9. When David's young men came and they spoke to Nabal according to the words of David, and says, and Nabal answered David's servant and said, who is David? You get that right? Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? That's, who do you think you are? Yeah? Who on earth is David? He said, and who is the son of Jesse? Yeah, I don't even know you. I call you your father's name. Right? Yeah? There be many summers. This like, there are many summers nowadays. He says, and a day that breaks away every man from his servants. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh and I have killed for my share as I give unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and they went again and came what? And told him all those things. And David said unto his men, guide ye on every man his sword. And what happened? They girded on every man his sword. And David also girded his sword. What was David going to do? He was going to fight. He was going to scatter. Yeah? Yeah? You know, sometimes, yeah? You know, only a fool talks anyhow. Yes. And only a fool talks anyhow. You see, in life, eh? Sometimes, not until you know the identity of people, should you regulate how you use your tongue. Do you understand? Do you know you can see someone? There's one day something happened. I think it was at work, right? And somebody just, there was a fight, a quarrel at work. And someone boldly said, "I have your type." I don't know how they used to put all those things. My younger sister is even older than you. Do you know that the lady, is even older than my elder sister? Do you get what I just said? The lady, so I have your type at home. You are now older than my elder brother. Do you understand? You know, sometimes only a fool just sees on the eye surface and just judges and just feels that I can get away with anything. Sometimes in life, you need to learn how to talk, how to speak. You know, even Paul, the way Paul defended himself before Agrippa is not the same way when he was before Festus. You should be able to read the room. And I'm trying to say, in both Festus, Agrippa, anybody, you should be honorable in how you speak. Be honorable in how you speak. Only a fool open their mouth and just talk and just blah, 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 just laugh. You know, so, you know, there's some people, they know how to run people down with their mouth. You've not said more than 1, 2, 3. You've already started shouting, yeah, I will run it for you. You know, for instance, when, you know, if you're in Lagos, if you drive in Lagos, yeah, somebody will hit your car and you'll say, ah. Look, I'm quite keen now. You know, you just say, I just pecked it now. I didn't really. You know, if you know Lagos, you know how this to drive. So you are driving your Range Rover. One guy just hit you. Right? Marua, they say the Marua. You know what Marua is? Marua, for our international audience, Marua is the car that has 3 tires. And you now, that you know how much you spent to buy your car. The man will just come and say, Barry, why are you shouting? That's Yoruba. Yeah? Mkompeke means I just, you know why you want to kiss your wife? When you peck your wife, it's different. Why you want to kiss your mouth? Why you want to peck on the cheek? You know why you want to peck your child? Are you now that you bought Range Rover, they're using 3-tire car, 3-legged disc bands? He said, it's not much now. I don't want to brush any. I just brushed. You scattered my old dog. You know, there was a video I saw recently of a guy. So a car was parked like this. The guy damaged the car. The old 2 doors were finished. I think I said it to you. The 2 doors were finished. Right? So the guy was going to come from this side of the car. So this is the car. This side was damaged. Right? So he now put a note at this side. What the note will say? I'm sorry, he now put maybe like $20 or maybe like $5, $10. I'm sorry I scratched your car. Hopefully this one can be helpful. So you now, if you take it, oh, what a lovely, only for you to go and see your car. Oh my goodness. You know, sometimes you find out that people just, and I'm not trying to say, sometimes people just talk. You know, there are some times that when the room is boiling, just say, I'm sorry. Let's move past it. No. Everybody has the freedom of speech. Right? You say your own, I say my own. Why should you be one that when they insult you, you have 5 insults already in your mouth? As people, when they insult you, it can make you depressed. Right? Why must you be known as that person? Yeah? Why must you be known? Why are people scared to talk to you? Because you can just talk anyhow. Nabal is that example. Yeah? One who foolishness dwells in your bosom. Imagine the lady, Hannah. Imagine she spoke rudely to Prophet Samuel. Prophet Samuel just came and said, I saw your mouth is moving too much. Are you drunk? Eli, to give birth to Samuel. It's your father's father. Is that not what this one is saying? It's your father's father's father. The one that gave birth to your father's father's father is the one that is drunk. Nonsense, man. You know, that's how some people behave. What did you say? No, my Lord, no, my Master, I'm not drunk, I'm just praying. What does it cost you to just give what you are doing? Like someone could misinterpret your action. What does it cost you to just say, no, you are wrong, I'm sorry, but this is what I'm doing. Right? Just feel like you want to just lambast. So that's what happened. Look at verse 7. 14, right? But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, hey, David sent messengers to your master or to your husband, and they were very good. but they rejected him. I just summarized the next few verses. Look at verse 16. They were a wall unto us by night. That means they even protected us. Look at verse 17. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do. For evil is determined against our master Nabal, and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial. Who again did they describe as son of Belial in the Bible? The children. Okay, Acts. Yeah. But I'm talking the one that's close to First Samuel.
King, the one that was insulting Elisha.
Okay, yes. That's what I'm just coming to mind. The one that came to my mind, that I was talking to my mind, was the children of Eli.
Okay, yes,
yeah, is that correct? Yeah, First Samuel as well, right? Yeah, so he says, this such son of Belial, that a man cannot speak to him. Are you that kind of person that people cannot speak to you? Their heart has to be beating. Yeah? Because before they just say A, you said B, C, D, E, G, F. Yeah? You see, you shouldn't be that kind of person where people are treading, what do you call it? Walking on eggshells before they can talk to you. You know, some people, before you talk to them, you have to first watch their mood if they are happy. And some of them say, even if you think they are happy, they will shock you. They will see changes for you. And you might be like, but I thought you were happy, sir. Yeah. But you know, you can be that kind of person who is approachable, who can be spoken to. Anybody can stop you on the road and ask you a question. Say, do I look like a traffic warden? Imagine you have, you know, sometimes it happens to me, and I've started learning intentionally when I go to grocery stores, right? Before I ask somebody, where is the eye? Where is the eye for bread? You know, so you ask somebody, the person will look at, what do I look like? Now you think I work here. Do you understand? But it can be coincidental. So nowadays, I always make sure there's name tag, at least anything that make you have name tag. You either walk in there or somewhere close, so you can be able to direct me. You know, but imagine you are dressed up, right? And somebody says, sorry, excuse me, do you know where you have the aisle for biscuits? Do you know, you don't have to be, oh, I'm sorry, I don't work here, I don't know. It's simple. You will not be shorter. Huh? Because you employ me here, huh? You are the one paying me here, but must you respond that way? You know, there are people who have gotten opportunities, right? Yeah, it's just like you're going to go and meet a mentor. Instead of you to go and sit down there and be listening, you are just a mentor. You know, wisdom entails that when you see somebody who is advanced in more than you on certain matters, when they are talking, if I don't add, do you understand? Don't add. Learn to see how you can. Now, I understand. I mean, sometimes you can converse. Now, people who I speak to, when I speak to them, even when they say something that is wrong, there's a way I'll still correct them. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But actually, the person. It has happened before. The person says, "Yeah, oh, okay, I've corrected you without saying." What do you even know? Yeah, there's a way you can approach matters. There's a way you can speak on matters. There's a way you can respond to people. Right? Very, very important. So, look at verse 19. And she said unto her servants, go on before me, behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. Right? So, Abigail, look at verse 18, sorry. Abigail did what? She made haste and took how many? 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine, 5 sheep ready dressed, and 5 measures of parched corn, and 100 cluster of raisin, and 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on her asses. Right? And she said unto her servants, go on before me, behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband. Thank God she didn't tell her husband. Abi? Thank God. There's people that ask that, is everything I tell my husband? If your husband is this kind of person, yeah? Faith and folly. Expense that you don't tell him. See what now happened? And it was so, as she rode on the ass, right, that she came down by the covert of the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. What did she do? Now David had said, surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow had in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, right, and yet he had requited me evil for good. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David. And more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I live of all that pertain to him by the morning, like, what is he trying to say? Yeah? The way you've rejected the people I sent to you, I will destroy everything. By the morning, your kingdom will be finished. Look at verse 23. When Abigail saw David, what happened? She hasted and lifted up the ass, and she what? She fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me, let this iniquity be, and let thy handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thy audience and hear the words of thy handmaid. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so he is. See his statement. For as his name is, so he is. Nabal is his name. And what? Folly is with him. That means there are ways people will act. Because the question is, Nabal, you are in your kingdom. Someone sent men to come and say hello to you. They are not fighting you. What did it cost you if you just welcome them? Let's assume you don't have space to allow them to sit down inside. Let them know in a peaceful way. What did the wife say? Miles by knowing. He's full of foolishness. Imagine you are full of foolishness. That fool is in his bosom. You know, said, but I and my handmaid, I saw not the young men. That means I didn't see the people you sent. Now, therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withheld thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself of thy own hand, now let thy enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thy handmaid hath brought unto the Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. Remember, she took food. Is that correct? I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighted the battles of the Lord, and evil had not been found in thee all days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. And the souls of thy enemies, them shall he sling as in the midst of a sling. And it shall come to pass that when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler of Israel. That means she projected that David will be a king. At this point, was David a king? Let's read that verse again now. It shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of my heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causelessly, or that my Lord had avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember what thy hands made. Right? You know, in this, there's also a wisdom you learn in relating with your partners as people who are married. Right? Statistics shows very largely that people who die earlier first in marriages are the men. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
You find out that more often than not, women live longer. Right? You know, a lot of times, what causes that thing is what sometimes is depression. Because one of the ways we talk to our partners, right, is so ungodly. Imagine your husband just finished dressing up in the morning, wearing tie, and he's going to work. Honey, you know, I say, you're working out, they think you're a serious human being. Eh? At your work now, they think he's a serious person. They think he's a serious person that is wearing suits. You know, people say those things. Yeah, we'll talk about that one much later. But how you talk matters a lot. How you talk matters. How you communicate things matters a lot. Look at what this woman did. You know, there's sometimes, yeah, and just know what works for your home and how to just ensure there's peace in your home. You know, sometimes you'll be in the wrong, right? And there's a kind of food you will cook that will make your partner's heart soften, both male and female. There are certain things you will do that will just change the course of the boiling anger in the heart of a man. That's what Abigail did to David. You know, sometimes you need to speak into the future of your partner. Right? You do that, I pick you. I pick you from the gutter. If without the gutter, where will you be? You know, people just say some very ridiculous things. But this lady said, my king. Yes, my king. Yes, let me tell you. You know that in our generation, it's very easy. I'll probably talk about it in this series. There's a warped concept of feminism, right? That is of the devil. Are we here? There's a warped concept of feminism where people try to make unnecessary or prove unnecessary points, right? You see, the structure of man and woman in the home as a couple is God-ordained. The structure of man as the head of a home is God-ordained. is not African ordained. Are we here? You know, it's not a Kenyan ordained thing. It's the word. Two people cannot be the head in the home. Are we together? Right? We are to have that sense of honor and regard for ourselves, love and regard for ourselves. But when you look through the pages of scriptures, right, what God has ordained structurally in scriptures is that the man is the head of the home. There's no need to fight. You know, the strength a woman has, right, if you look at it holistically, a lot of times, is even more powerful than what you think the strength of a man has. Some of us just don't know how to tap into certain things that God has deposited in us. Right? So there's an ungodly fight that is happening right now. Yeah? You know, this one is this, this one with that. You know, you cannot do this, you cannot do that, you cannot do this. And the truth is that it is not necessary. Don't follow social media feminists too. Eh? Yeah? There are some people online who you see as feminists, right? I know how they relate to their partners. Nothing is feminine about them. Talk more of feminine. Yeah? Someone is telling you, Someone is telling you, no, don't take nonsense from anybody. Ideally, don't take any nonsense from anybody. Don't take any nonsense from anybody. But the person, right? Don't you know to live with a man for 40 years and to live with a woman for 40 years, you have to take some nonsense. You don't know. So the person that is telling you don't take nonsense is 40 years married. You two are not taking nonsense. You see the nonsense? You know, no. I just don't like. No. There's a biblical way we ought to view it. Right? The Bible doesn't teach subjugation, as it were. Right? The Bible teaches submission, as it were. Are we together? Very important, please, dear saints. We'll look at that some. But look at how Abigail spoke to the future of David and said, you are going to be the king. And when you become the king, please don't forget me. You know, that thing alone can make your heart soft. See, you can see, you're even campaigning. They did not tell you. They did not tell you that you'd not reach anywhere. Right? You know, one of the things that kills a lot of relationships as well is comparison. You think it's greener on the other side. Sometimes until you purple or feel it's not greener. Until you actually do the medical. Because there's nowhere where you have it all easy. And it's only a relationship. Some of us are so good at cutting relationships off. Small thing, bra. I've had people who have done that to me. But like I would always say, right, I find myself being so gracious by paying attention to God's word to ensure I leave those relationships open. A lot of times, they end up coming back begging, even though they will not try to say please. A lot of times. I can count 2, 3, 4 examples and give you detailed examples that if I told you the things they did to me, they should not be standing there. I'm standing here where I can even look them. No, I should be looking away. You know, when you cut people off of your life easily, it's because you think you know the future. You are proud. You are proud. You think you can see everything that happens to our people tomorrow. It's not always like that. Yeah? That's how Nabal had his mindset. You know, you achieve a few things. Your shoulder is up. Right? But Abigail knew that there was something more. Right? But Nabal felt like nothing can shake me. No! I have God. One with God is majority. Ah! Don't let anybody fool you. Right? God will use men for your life. Oh, I hope you know. His relationship, every relationship you have, right? Build your relationship, cultivate your relationship. When you see people who have been talking that they've been friends for 40 years, for 50 years, it didn't start overnight. They built it. They offended themselves, but they made sure they corrected themselves. I know, obviously, there will always be examples where people will say, but this person did. No, it's a ton of. I'm just trying to say, learn to remember always that relationships are very important. This is what Nabal considered. You know, when we keep reading, you find out that Abigail eventually married who? David married Abigail now. Let's keep reading. Look at verse 32. And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which has sent thee to me this day, and blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou which thou art kept me from this day from coming to shed blood. Look at verse 34. For in very deed has the Lord God of Israel lived, which had kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hast hasted and come to me. Yeah, surely there had been left unto Nabal by morning light. Any that what? Pissed against the wall. So David received of her hand that which she had brought in. That means she was even, she was beautiful, obviously. And David began to admire her. Right? He says, go up in peace in verse 35. I have hearkened to your voice and I have accepted your person. This is what David said. Yeah, David is saying, I've accepted the entirety of how you came. That's what David said. Go to your house. Now, what did Abigail now do in 36? Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast. Man that they want to kill is celebrating. He was doing party. He held a feast, like the feast of the king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore, she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of who? Nabal. That means his eye clear. Right? And his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and it became as a what? Stone. Let's read 38 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And it came to pass, about 10 days after, that the Lord smote Nabal, that he what? Died. So 10 days after, Nabal died. So, did David need to kill Nabal? Is it because he knew that Nabal was still dying? No. He should walk in love. Regardless of the circumstance. I'm saying even if Nabal was alive 54 days or 54 years after. Yeah? The fact that the words of his wife has already melted his heart, he should just keep it that way. But 10 days after, what happened? Nabal died. Right? What happened? When David heard that Nabal was there, what did he do? Blessed be the Lord. see the Thanksgiving prayer. That had pleased pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and had kept his servant from evil, for the Lord had returned. So David knew that killing Nabal is evil. Yeah? And the Lord had returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head, and David sent and communed with what? Abigail, to take her to him as a wife. What changed everything in 1 Samuel 25? Talking. How she spoke. Dear saint, I'm saying to you today, how are you speaking? How are you talking? How are you responding to situations? How do you respond to people? It's not a godly thing to be known as somebody who is very rude. Do you understand? I'm not saying even at work. And some of us as Christians, we don't know where to draw the line because we feel like a lot of people are rude to us. You know, sometimes it's not necessary. It's not necessary. One of the things I've done to my heart and done for myself is a lot of times, you know, a lot of times, even what people call, you know, race, insults and all those things, I don't even pay attention to it. Do you understand? Okay, if somebody tells you, you know, you don't allow people change who you really are because of how bad they are. I remember I was on a call one day, and it was when the call finished. In fact, the person that insulted me, I still even complimented the person. But I said, but that's a racist statement she made to you. I'm like, okay. Okay. Right? Do you know, I remember 2013 or 2014, I can't remember the exact year. I had gone to eat something, so I kept this memory in my mind. So someone asked me a question, where am I from? Because you said something around, where are you from? Oh, because you speak well. Do you know, in an average mind, that's thank you. I swear I'm from Nigeria, I'm from Ekiti, the southwest part of Nigeria. Do you know that? But when someone now did the same thing to me, maybe a few years after, my wife now said, but do you know that's so racist? Like, you don't mean it. Tell me something. What am I saying? I'm saying I don't allow people dictate how I behave. To show a man who is wise is in control of his actions and inactions. Don't let people push you to the wall. Don't let people turn you to the wall. Don't allow anything be the reason why you are known as a rude person. Don't be rude. Speak well. Talk well. You know you can correct someone, give someone a feedback without being insulted. You can correct someone, speak to someone without being insulted. You can ensure that you maintain your posture as a believer, regardless of anything you find yourself doing. Right? Nowhere to talk. Yeah? Very, 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 very important. Very, 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 very important. Yeah? You know, so for instance, you know, I remember anytime I drive in Nigeria, when I drive, we have, for those of us who are here might not understand it, but you know, there's something called checkpoints. I've never seen one here. Right? And I always see checkpoints. Everybody knows in the car, anybody I'm driving and in the car at night, if a police officer stops me, no matter the tone he uses, "Good evening, sir, how are you doing today?" I used to say, "Good evening, sir, how are you doing today?" Are we here? That is what I've chosen to resort to myself. In fact, there was a guy who was working where I used to work before, right? And when I was leaving, the person message, he wanted to just thank me for all I did for him and everything. I was saying, "One of the things I like about you is that you didn't treat me as a common cleaner." Yeah? As a common cleaner. Some of us, we just talk to people anyhow. No, you should be able to have decorum. The brother who has been at the gate in Nigerian church for almost 10 to 15 years, like play, right? "Hello, brother, how are you doing?" I don't just talk to him and say, "We've been paying him for almost 15 years. Why do you always think you just want to just rubbish yourself? So when a policeman stops me, I say, "Hello, sir, how are you doing?" Yeah. Imagine you are with somebody that is driving, and the person just say, you just wind down and say, "You in the car," and you say, "Eh?" They have your time. If you like, have your papers, have your driver's license, they will ask you for the receipt of your tire. Yeah, you know, you can just be smart enough to just know how to just give them what they want. Yeah, after the Bible says the gift of a man maketh way. You know the gift then, huh? It's not piano. The gift of the man maketh way is stand before king, not before men. Eh? That people start teaching your children how to play piano from when they are born. That's not the gift Bible is talking about, though. Eh? The gift of a man, that's the word there. If you look at it in the Hebrew manuscripts, yeah? What in our world we call the bribe. Yeah? The gift of a man maketh way for him. So if somebody has been standing under the sun, and you know his life is already, he has 5 children, all the salary they are giving can even make sure he take care of himself, talk more of his children. If you have something like that, what do you do? "God, thank you. Thank you. I pray God protect you. Thank you. You move." You're laughing. If the guy decides to crack gun and he does accidental discharge, in front of who will you fight your case?
God.
I know if the next day the guy requests for mercy, not ask. If you request God to forgive him, if your brother is in the same church with him, and your brother is thinking, "I'm in him justified, he's in me glorified," you know that your policeman too. We sing, "I'm in him justified, he's in me glorified." Amen. A few seconds, a few minutes. You know, you can enter a taxi, for instance, and maybe the guy is just having like a bad day, and you are seeing him doing 150, 160. You can, please. Oh, I'm not rushing to the hospital. You know, when you're going to the hospital, you are rushing to get oxygen. I'm not looking for oxygen. Please, take it easy. But how you talk. Because, you know, if you are sitting at the back and that's somebody who's ready to die. After now. Yeah, he's already ready to die. I said, "Come on, stop that nonsense." Speaking English. 2 of you will meet at the gate. I don't know the gate of where you will meet. The gate called Beautiful. You will meet there. Right? Yeah, but I'm just saying, a few seconds. Yeah, a wise man knows how to use his words. Yeah, if your boss says you do something wrong, you know, I've told you, I was listening to one of my messages this afternoon. And I was talking about an example, I think I briefed you recently, about one of my boss who reached out to me to talk about how I used to apologize. Yeah, his name is Richard, right? I have bad practice. If someone tells me I did wrong, now, I understand that there are times when the person might not have a full picture, the person is wrong. But how you see it matters. How you talk matters. A boiling fire can be quenched by the calmness of the voice. If a house that's about to catch fire, that spark can be quenched by just how you talk. So I'm saying to you, dear saints, learn to talk honorably, learn to talk as a believer. Look at someone talking.